This program is sponsored by Love Radio Network.
Get ready to kick up some dirt and mud because it's time for San Diego Off-Road Coalition Radio with Dave Stahl. SDORC is here to further off-roading as a safe family experience while promoting and preserving the natural environment. So whether it's bikes, buggies, trucks, or trikes, San Diego Off-Road Coalition Radio brings you the latest news and initiatives in preserving the use of off-highway vehicles and protecting the land and wildlife at the same time. Because together, everyone achieves more. Now, here is your host, Dave Stahl.
All right, folks. Hey, welcome to SDORC Dirt Radio, FM 96.1 AM 1170.
The answer.
This segment brought to you by Alpha Site Logistics, serving the Imperial Valley for over 20 years. They offer portable toilets, hand wash stations, hand wash trailers, shade trailers, dumpsters, and a whole lot more. Don't go out unprepared, especially in the desert. Call 760-362-8383. Give the gang a call. Tell them you heard it right here on SDORC Dirt Radio. All right, Ed, what do you got for us today? Man, you got a ton.
Well, I printed an email out.
Oh, so, gotcha.
Do you remember last year we did a cleanup? So SDORC did a cleanup on Otay Mountain.
Right.
We did a cleanup. Our secretary, Nicole, had driven over it and noticed there was a lot of trash. Mm-hmm. So we organized a cleanup, and we picked up a lot of trash. We had a nice day out on the mountain. So the day after the cleanup, the guy from the Bureau of Land Management, who we had been coordinating the event with, contacted us and told us that the Border Patrol wants to close the west side gate of access to the mountain. Now, it's a big mountain, and there's a lot of roads on it, but mm-hmm. there's only two access points, one on the east, one on the west. And they want to close the west one because there's been a lot of smuggling, human smuggling, that the bad guys are picking up people who are walking across the border, and they're driving them to a new life in the United States. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if you guys know Otay Mountain. It's a big mountain in San Ysidro, right down by the border, and a portion of the mountain is on the border, and there is no border wall right there. So there's a border wall from by the mountain all the way to the ocean, and then on the other side of the mountain to the east. But there's a section there with no wall. And so people walk across, and they walk up the mountain, and then the other guys pick them up and take them to their new, wherever they're going. So there's been a lot of that activity, and the Border Patrol has asked to have that gate closed. And who are they asking? There's a campground at the bottom of the mountain there, Pio Pico Campground. And the campground owns a small portion of the land that the gate crosses. Right. So they own the gate. The Border Patrol asked them to close the gate and lock it and not let anybody through unless they have a good reason. And at the time, they told us that off-roaders could go to the gate, or they could go to the office and get the combination for the lock, and they could open the gate, let themselves through, and close the gate. So we thought, well, that's not such a bad thing. And then we talked about Mountain Dash motorcycle ride, and I helped coordinate that event to give the Bureau of Land Management a good reason to keep the road open. That if they had a permit application saying this group wants to use the road, we would like to keep it open. Anyway, so we did the event. They didn't keep the road open. Like the gate's not just swung wide open now. So we did that cleanup, and we did that cleanup on National Public Lands Day. And that's a big deal for the Bureau of Land Management. They really like to have something they can parade around and show what they're doing. So a few weeks ago, the guy from the BLM, the Palm Springs office who manages that area, contacted me and said, hey, do you want to coordinate another cleanup on Otay Mountain this September, National Public Lands Day? And I said, well, we would like to. If that gate was open, we would do that. But without having access, it just doesn't feel right. And so I turned him down. And then I sent a letter to the woman's name from the public relations of the Border Patrol, Amber, and she got back to me. And this is what she said. So the road is called Minnewawa. So she says, access to the Minnewawa is controlled by management at Pio Pico. And from what I understand, they have been very good about allowing access for resource-specific reasons. So there's two problems with that first sentence. First of all, she says it's controlled by management at Pio Pico, which is true, but they have had their arm twisted by the Border Patrol.
They're told not to do anything.
Because that road has been open for decades and decades, no problem. And all of a sudden, the Border Patrol wants it closed, and they closed it.
Well, there's a lot more traffic coming across the border. I could see where their concerns would be.
So she's pinning it on Pio Pico, but it's really her fault and her agency's fault. And then she says they have been very good about allowing access for resource-specific reasons.
What's that? What does that mean?
Well, I'm not sure, but recreation is a valid resource. And they have not been allowing recreational users to just freely go across the border. So there's two problems there. Border Patrol supports and requests continued closure, but we do not have the final say. Well, who's going to go up against a federal agency like that?
Mm-hmm.
I would imagine that a cleanup day on the mountain would be something everyone supports, Border Patrol included. It is unfettered access that provides the opportunity for dangerous smuggling events to occur that give folks pause. Unfettered access. That word unfettered almost makes it sound dirty.
Mm-hmm.
Like there shouldn't be access. And it feels to me like that's just not the right word to use. I would like to share that since the gate has been locked, as of my last check in May, there has been only one smuggling load. Prior to that, there were 25 smuggling events between January 30th and March 2nd when the gate was locked. Those 25 vehicles held 40 smugglers and 107 undocumented migrants. That's 147 people, not including local citizens who could find themselves on the Minnewawa at the same time as the smugglers, whose lives were in danger due to erratic, evasive driving on such a dangerous road.
How do you suppose we get this lock? It's a magic lock. Did you notice they put that lock on that gate and nobody went up the hill?
And law and order is magically restored.
But isn't that a magic lock? That lock.
Can we get copies of that?
Well, so I can hang it on my fence and never, ever, ever worry about somebody coming in. Doesn't that seem a little odd of a statement to you?
I've been working land use for off-road vehicles for decades. And it's our observation that for management agencies, people who manage public land, the easiest way to manage land is to close it.
Yeah, exactly. Right?
You close it, signs, fence,
it's done.
Gates.
We don't have to worry about it.
Anybody in there is automatically a bad guy.
That's right. Well, that's way they want to run
and
the
that's
country.
Why, that's why we do these cleanups, because we want to
show good faith.
Yeah, we show good faith.
But they got to show good faith, too.
We want to take away one reason to close an area or a trail. Right. Right. Oh, there's too much trash on the trail. We need to close it. So we pick up the trash.
And you don't want to give money to us. They could hire you guys and say, hey, I will pay you $25 a head for each person who wants to come out and clean the mountain. Okay.
I would have more people than I know what to
do with. Then you
could
shake a stick at. And then when you collect all the money, I guarantee you everybody would give it to STORC. Mm-hmm. This whole thing... I must be having a bad day because I keep thinking everybody thinks I'm stupid. And that email kind of adds to it. Hey, let's take a quick break. By the way, Audrey's been on the line.
Oh, Audrey's here? Hi, Audrey.
Yeah, you forgot all about Audrey. All right, so we're going to take a quick break. This is Case STORC, Dirt Radio, FM 96.1, AM 1170.
The answer.
All right, folks, welcome back to STORC Dirt Radio, FM 96.1 AM 1170.
The Answer.
This segment is brought to you by Wayne Miller Tire. Now, you're going to go look for Wayne, and he's semi-retired, but he's still got a great staff, still got awesome tires from golf carts all the way up to semis, RVs. He's got a roadside assistance program. They've got it all, so don't think twice. Take a run down to Wayne Miller Tire. Right off 67, next to the, actually, it's right next to CCC Motorsports and the drive-in movie. All right, hey, we got Audrey someplace out in the desert, I'm sure.
Is that you, Audrey? Are you there?
No, Santee. I'm at Pacific Island Brewery in Santee for our off-road show and shine car show. Come on out 1 to 5 tonight at Pacific Island Brewery. We're here having a good time, just getting staged. Got a couple of vehicles coming in now. Bring your truck down, your Jeep, your 4x4, your dirt bike, anything like that, and show it off for the day. Hang out with us here at Pacific Island Brewery in Santee. There's a great group here. We got some barbecue. Sandra's sweet rolls, which, oh my gosh, I ate one of those cinnamon rolls, and they are to die for. We're just hanging out all day today, drinking. I got a beer in my hand, and I'm having a good time down here at Pacific Island Brewery.
What's the address?
The address is, let me get right over here to my flyer. Hold on.
Just makes it easier to find.
Pacific Island Brewery. Yeah. You can type that in.
Not everybody Googles.
It's at 8665 Argent Street in Santee off of Prospect. It's that back road between that goes to Costco in Santee. It's between that goes to Prospect. And it's in the industrial center. So if you need to bring your car down here with a trailer, bring your car on down. There's plenty of parking, trailer parking over in the industrial lot behind us, and come on down and have a good time. It's People's Choice Awards, so even if you don't have a vehicle, come on down, hang out with us, have a beer. We got a raffle going on. I got a 22-inch light bar and a winch here donated to us by Kuapoa Aloha from Pacific Island Brewery for the raffle today. So $1 raffle tickets get you in for a winch or a light bar.
I want a light bar.
Yeah, for your bike.
Yeah. Light bar and wiring harness is here, and $1 raffle tickets, and we're just out here hanging out until 5 o'clock tonight. Having
okay.
A good time.
So you'll be there till 5 o'clock. Okay, good deal.
Thanks for being there, Audrey.
Hey, so, let's talk a little bit, just a teeny bit about the brewery. Are they... just beer, and do they make their own? What's the deal?
Well, let's put Kuapoa Aloha on the air right here. Kuapoa Aloha, we're on live right now, and he is the owner of Pacific Island Brewery. He wants to know here, they want to know what kind of beer do you have here, and do you have available for us, and tell us a little bit more about the brewery.
Aloha from Pacific Islander Beer Company. How are you guys today?
We're doing fantastic, and that's exactly the way to promote your business. I appreciate that.
Well, if you want to talk about beers, you know, we're all beer drinkers. So basically we have a whole range of beers from lagers, from ales to IPAs, double IPAs. So we even have a couple Islander beers. We have Lola, which is named after my mom. It's a Belgian. And then we have a pineapple, pale, hazy, and then we have a mango lager. So we have a good range of beers that, you know, anybody that can walk in the doorway is really going to have an opportunity to have a beer.
So what you're talking about, I mean, it's a family, sounds like a family owned and operated brewery, and it's probably the same story that the Stone Brothers, our buddies, did. They were in a garage making beer, tasted pretty good. Buddies thought it was really good, and here you are today.
Well, I would say that my nephew was home brewing in his garage.
See, there you go.
A couple years, he brought bottles of beer, you know, to our family get-togethers. And one day he said, hey, I want to open a brewery. And so I said, okay, if you need anything, let me know. So a year later, he came back to Thanksgiving, and he said, hey, you know, I couldn't open a brewery. He thought he could make it in his garage or whatever to make it legitimate. I said, well, give me 6 months. I'll drive around. I was just a beer drinker.
Sure.
So me and the wife, we're both retired law enforcement. So we just kind of drove around.
Thanks for your service, by the way. Thanks for your service.
Well, I appreciate it. Lucky I'm still, here.
Yes.
And just a joke. But no. we got to go around and see, and then the love that breweries had and the sharing and the everything that everybody gave us this info. And it was astonishing to us. And so we said after about 6 months of checking it out, we said, hey, we'll open a brewery. And
then
we spent another 4 or 5 months looking for a place. And then here came Pacific Islander Beer Company, 8 years ago now.
Wow.
We're just about the neighborhood. We're not trying to be, the Stones of the world, Lagunitas of the world. We have really neighborhood roots in East County and Santee. So, and trying to make beers that, if you walked in, you would love to drink them. And that's what I would say. If you said anything about our brewery, it'd be that the hospitality is awesome. It's the Islander hospitality. And, we make drinkable beers. If you came in, you'd find a beer that you could drink.
Right. And I'm the kind of guy, I walk in, they say, and you've got a wall of 5,682,003 different flavors. And no, I was only joking. You're one less than that. So I asked, I always ask the lady or the guy behind it, what would you drink? I'm just looking for a good IPA. And I've never been failed, and I'm coming to your place probably next week. What are your hours?
So we're in Santee on 8665 Argent Street.
Okay.
Right off of the main town of Santee.
Right.
So
right.
We always joke, if you go by the brewery, and you missed it, you shouldn't be drinking. So, we're an industrial, but we're on. And some of the things that, makes us different is we are Islanders. I'm an Islander. And so, you come here, the patio, this palm tree, that hang out and social. And that's what.
Do your recipes come from the island? I mean, are they kind of island specific with
local breweries,
like with ingredients?
It's all about.
So you might not be able to hear me. Just dawned on me.
Talk and have a few beers and and enjoy supporting.
Yeah. Well, hey man, I tell you what, and I've heard so much about you.
That I personally am involved with. I'm big on you come here and use our facility.
We don't charge
anything. We want to just come here and support the neighbors, because without doing that, as everybody fails.
Right.
Especially the beer industry. So, and even you get down here and have a beer.
Yeah.
Have a beer on me. I mean, everybody at San Diego Coalition, the Off-Road Coalition, they work their butt off.
Yeah.
Just to pick up trash in the desert, so we have a place to go.
Yeah.
And that's what the emphasis should always be. It's not about me selling beers.
No.
It's about keeping our desert open. And being able to go down there and keep the knuckleheads from doing stupid things so that we can still have a trail to ride on.
Yeah, but it takes businesses like yours to offer the space and the time to help get the word out, because that's just about as big of a challenge as it is keeping the deserts clean, getting the word out.
Oh, totally. And I think that sometimes it's connecting with the right people,
Right.
Just like the brewery, I own it and I got to, I got to work it, and then trying to be involved with the community. Sometimes it can get lost in the shuffle, and trying to keep, because everyone, especially in the beer industry, people care about their community. This isn't trying to be the next richest person or, you love making beers, you love drinking beers, you love laughing with people. And then, we have an opportunity to touch the community. And I don't know a brewery in San Diego or in California that does not want to really touch their community. But in my reality with them, they're the ones that do all the hard work, I just show up, everybody wants it, I want to drink a beer, And it's all these people in the back end, that have to, organize everything, bring everything, bring all the trash bags to pick up stuff. People just don't understand how simple it is. And we see it in our community.
I know.
And then you taking the time out to, you know, to put it out on, you know, on the net. But the support is the support San Diego Off-Road Coalition.
Right.
I mean, exactly. If you came here, you go like, okay, I got a new place to come do and drink beers.
Exactly.
That can happen by you showing up.
Exactly.
At the same time as we need to keep our desert, you know, open, you know, and keep politicians from making stupid decisions, because we have a very small group of individuals that do crazy stuff in the desert, and then they think that everybody
does. I know. Makes me insane.
Yeah.
Hey, get my information from Audrey. I do an hour that's just open air, and maybe I'll have you come in the studio or maybe call in, and let's talk about...
Yeah, totally.
Well, talk about the industry, because... You know, a lot of people don't realize every brewery is different than the next brewery, unless they're, you know, buying other people's, you know, brew. It's so unique. It's like a restaurant. You know, how many different Mexican restaurants are out there, and there's no two alike unless it's Taco Bell, right? So I have to tell, I got to let you go, but I got to tell you one more thing, and if you don't laugh.
Got it.
So I'm at a barbecue championship judging thing. So I get there, and all they got's water. Jesus. I guess I should have brought a freaking cooler. So then I decided, well, what the hell? I says, hey, any chance I can grab a beer? Oh, yeah, no problem. They brought me a Coors Light. Okay.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that.
Oh, my God, that's not beer.
I can't
drink a state of water.
Tell you how long it's been. And I looked at it, and I went, wow, this is really going to be good. But it did kill the taste between the different samples of barbecue. But, man, I am not doing that again, ever.
Well, next time that you do something like that, you're welcome to come down. We'll throw some beers in a little cooler for you to go up there and
maybe
you can pimp us out. And then you'll have some, you know, we'll throw in, you know, the light beers,
right.
The pale, throw a pale pineapple, a couple of double IPAs in there. Damn. And then you can go like, okay, at the end of it, you're really happy. And then you can, you know,
Us
out.
And all the food would have actually tasted good.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd be happy to, you know, go on the radio station.
Well, you and I,
mahalo for taking the time.
My pleasure. You and I need to stay in touch because I do KUSI TV, and I'd love to get you on if you're doing a special event. We can get some cars together, you know, whether it be hot rods, I can get motorcycles together. They come to KUSI. Promote whatever event you're doing, and then that way people it's just more people's eyeballs on
your joint. And we'll be happy to.
I know you will. That's why I'm saying we've been talking.
Out in the back of KUSI and the bricks and sit on the bricks and have a few beers. You know, life is way too short to be worrying about the money. The money will come if you take care of the people that are around you.
And everybody needs to give penny to a million, period.
Totally.
Brother,
starts with a penny.
Look forward to talking to you. All right, we're going to take a quick break.
Aloha.
That's SDORC Dirt Radio, FM 96.1 AM 1170.
The answer.
All right, folks. Hey, welcome back to the SDORC Dirt Radio, FM 96.1 AM 1170.
The answer. Gotcha, Audrey.
Gotcha. PRMI Mortgage.
Yep.
Great company down if you're looking to refi, you're in the military, looking for a GI loan, looking for just questions on buying and selling, whether it's in the state of California or out. Chris Wiley is where you need to go. Go to PRMImortgage.com. Check him out. Also, SSORM Magazine. Anything going on off-road, San Diego Off-Road Magazine is where you need to go. They've been doing this since the 80s. They know the desert like the back of their hand. Why? Because they live out there in Ocotillo Wells. But you can get them online, SSORM.com. You get all kinds of technical. Ed writes a couple articles a month. There's classifieds. There's games for the kids. There's historical information.
Coming events. They have a great coming events column. If you're looking for something to do in the future, they have it covered.
And don't they do what's open, what's not open, where you can sleep, where you can't sleep?
Well, that would probably fall under my column for the most part.
Would that be yours? Are you pretty up to date on that?
Yeah. Yeah. Any changes, we cover it.
Yeah, you got to hit it. Now they're online as well?
They're only online now. Since the pandemic, they stopped with the paper, and they only have it online. And you know what happened when they went online? is they just about tripled the length of the magazine.
Oh, by going online.
By going online, right. Because paper, you have physical limitations. Weight, it can only be so long and heavy. Exactly.
But you can go on to Amazon and order it, and it comes really nice. Very beautiful, thick paper, and you get the whole thing, and it's beautiful. Costs $15. You get it overnighted from Amazon next day. And it's great. And the ones that I've put pictures in that I've done or got Nicole for the Mother's Day one in there, you know, I made sure that I bought them on Amazon so I actually have a physical copy of it.
Yeah, I had a couple printed myself. It came surprisingly nice, a lot nicer quality than the paper magazine they had before.
Well, yeah, but they couldn't do that.
I mean, No. The quality is way higher.
No.
It would cost them.
Their circulation was stupid.
Yeah, they were
still
making,
is.
I don't know. I forget how many, 30,000, 40,000?
Oh, it had to be more than that. It seems like every 7-Eleven, every place
shop.
You stop for gas.
Yeah, every Albertsons, Vaughn's, every gas station had them.
Yeah, there was a rack, and there it was right there. So,
we were talking about the Minnewawa Truck Trail on Otay Mountain. And to close on that, I believe that if... The Border Patrol knows there's a hot spot. There's an area of active problems. Why don't they put people there? It boggles my mind.
Because they don't have anybody.
They're down. They got a hot spot.
Because they're processing the people coming across. This is what they'll tell you. Okay.
Yep. I've gone dual sporting out in the backcountry, motorcycle riding, and sometimes you see those guys just sitting there. They're looking at a magazine.
When's the last time you've seen the border crossing off Old 94 open?
It was closed the last time I went through there.
Funny thing,
Flew right
I've been through there because that's one of my road trip, road test routes.
Testing cars, yeah.
And, all of a sudden, when's the last time you went to L.A. and you had to got stopped at the border at San Onofre?
Years.
How about Escondido?
Never.
Never. I mean, it's been.
So.
But the Highway 8 by Buckman Springs, that one was closed the last time I rolled through there.
So you're surprised no one's going to come running and seeing why you're going up this
I don't know where they are.
When we held our public land event in September 24th last year, and we did that event, when we did the trail cleanup, we're talking to the Border Patrol in regards to that, the one right there off of the 94 in Campo and having it open. And they told us that they don't have the manpower to manage.
Right.
And cleanup, they're lacking.
Will you do me a favor, Audrey, and get this guy a television set?
I want to go to another.
It makes me crazy. Three-hour line at the border.
Audrey, we have to get him a TV set.
There's no... Where are they? It's making me crazy.
Half of them have been fired. The other half
were
let go because they wouldn't get vaccinated.
We just lost 20 more San Diego PD and because they refused to get vaccinated.
Right.
So they laid off 20 more San Diego PD.
Tom
Gloria says, no, they didn't. They're moving locations or retiring. No, that's not right, Todd Gloria. Yeah.
Moving to their couch.
I know, yes, exactly.
But see,
because they
don't get what the repercussions of this is going to be over a shot that should be your choice.
I mean,
they just don't. And then once they do get to that end of that road where chaos is unbelievable, then it's just going to be three times as hard to go back and fix everything. Because would you go to work for the San Diego PD for $60,000?
Oh, heck no.
Well, you know what I'm saying?
Just to carry, walk around with a bulletproof vest on all day?
Yeah.
And the kind of people you have to talk to?
Or ride a horse where they will yell at you if you try to move on it? No, stop and think about it. These people have got it all backwards. Yeah. If you're going to hire somebody to do what you want them to do, you need to pay them. Because you're not getting...
Yeah.
But there are a few crazies out there that will run to the fire. And that's what they hope for. Same thing with the military.
Would
you join the military, get a rifle, and head out into a country you don't know anything about?
Maybe when I was 19, but not now.
Yeah, I know. That's the killer right there.
Anyway. So we've beat this Minnewawa Trail to death. There's a few other things I'd like to discuss. So I had three meetings last week. Tuesday, I had a San Diego County Fish and Wildlife meeting. Didn't have a lot of off-road stuff. But Audrey, we approved another grant for the hunting group, the game and
fishing game.
Where they shoot
no.
the pheasant training for the kids grant. Anyway, they have there was an application. So the Fish and Wildlife Commission approves grants. That's what I was looking for. Thank you. The junior pheasant hunt.
Junior pheasant hunt for the kids. Yes.
Okay. So you got it.
So the agency collects fines and they redistribute those in the community for projects that help. And so the junior pheasant hunt got a grant.
Oh, good. How much?
It's like $800. It wasn't very high.
The
San Diego River Foundation, they got like a $4,000 grant for working on restoring some of the river property. So that was something. We also had a Mojave Trails National Monument meeting. So, you know, there's a big monument out there. I got to see a map of it, which is not where I thought it would be. But it's 1.6 million acres. This was an Obama proclamation. And now they're working on a management plan for it. And I'm on the committee.
What's it going to be for?
Well, protect the land.
But you could maybe go out on it?
Well, that depends on how the management plan goes. Wow. If I have anything to do with it, there's going to be lots of routes.
Yeah.
Right. I want to preserve legal access. That's my motivation for being on this group.
Call Obama and say, "Hey man,
you really
I need your help. If you want people to really know who this land is because of, and you don't want to be negative and say I can't go out and look at the land that he gave it to me."
Obama's gone.
I know.
I'm working on that.
He's not gone.
He's still around.
He's not gone. What makes you think he's gone?
You see the picture of him and Biden, and everyone's shaking his hand, and Biden's like trying to.
He's in the White House. Okay, let's not even go there.
Okay, the third meeting I had, Audrey, we missed you the other night. The Dirt Rider Foundation had its first meeting with Desiree, Justin, Shad, and myself. So that's a 501c3 organization. And C3s are a little bit different than SDRC, which is a C4.
Right.
CORVA is a C7. They're eligible for grants that the others are not. And people can donate money to it and write that off of their taxes.
Right.
So we're sort of working on what our future is going to hold. So that was a fun. And that was at a beer place in San Marcos.
And you don't drink beer.
I know. Well, I had a small one.
I thought you said you didn't want to talk about beer.
Well, I can tell you right now, my Leica Honey Blonde Ale from Pacific Island Brewery is delicious. And I'm not a big beer drinker, but my Leica Honey Blonde, OMG, it is delicious.
Hold that. You've almost got Ed turning green. So finish up what you were where you were.
Okay. So that
because you got those grants, what, and then
so
now,
we're going to be
only a once a year meeting. Is this thing going to? I mean, is it government backed or is it just local?
No, this is a local organization. Gotcha. This group, and we're trying to figure out what type of events we want to do.
Yeah.
We're probably they're going to be doing the cleanup during the Lost Lizard Fun Run.
Mm-hmm.
They will probably be planning some kind of disabled veterans event in the desert. Putting disabled veterans in vehicles and driving around. Something I'm really hoping that Audrey and myself can do is to get a grant from California OHV Parks and put on the Imperial Sand Dunes Glamis cleanup next year. I think it's hard to imagine planning for 2024, but I would really like to have Audrey and myself team up, get a sizable grant, and really do a proper cleanup out there. Buy lots of cleanup materials, good food, other stuff, and have a lot of people out there, collect a lot of trash, and have a great event. Audrey, are you in?
I'm in.
Awesome. Okay. I got an email that kind of pleasantly surprised me from the Bureau of Land Management. They're calling it Mecca-copia. So there's a place called Mecca Hills. It's north of the Salton Sea, just north of it. And if you go around to the northeast side of the Salton Sea, there's an area there that has a lot of dirt hills and a lot of trails around there. And the BLM is looking into making that an open area. And this is pretty cool. So this is the Riverside, sorry, it's in Riverside County. It's the Palm Springs Bureau of Land Management office. They have no open areas in their vast amount of desert areas that they manage.
How big do you think this area is?
I was out there a couple years ago, and it was really a nice area, and I wanted to go back. I haven't been back yet, but I thought this is a nice area to go riding. You could camp, and there's a bunch of hills and little gullies to ride around in. Mm. And what makes it a nice area for open riding is to the east is a big mountain that you can't really cross. To the west is the Salton Sea, and the mountain on the south, it kind of angles down towards the Salton Sea. And then to the north, there's some fields and communities. So it's nicely encapsulated. Mm-hmm. Like you wouldn't have people go there and then go off to crazy places, do things they shouldn't do. So it's nice and constrained. It has nice off-roading. A little bit hard to get to, but I think the people that live in like the greater Palm Springs, Indio, Palm Desert, Coachella, that area,
they'll come.
That would be a nice area for them to, not too far away.
Yeah.
For me in San Diego, it's kind of a drive.
Yeah, but even still, I mean, if you could take your trailer out there.
Yeah, if you're going to camp.
There's a really nice place with full hookups for trailers right there called Glamis North Hot Springs. And a lot of people get confused because it has the name Glamis in it, but it is right there at the north of the Salton Sea. And it's gorgeous. You can have full hookups. They got a pool, a little restaurant, other little area right there. So it's a nice family destination to go camping for the weekend. And then you can go over and go riding in that open area right there. They have it. It's all open. You cross the street out of Glamis North Hot Springs, and you go directly into the canyons that are right there, the big, beautiful, basically like washes, but you got the 100-foot walls as you go through it. And I'm blanking out on what that's called right now, and I can't believe I am.
I don't know either, but I've been out in that general area. There is a vast amount of desert between the Salton Sea and the Colorado River that is magnificent to explore.
Well, I mean, it's easy to say.
I think we got to take a quick break.
We're going down to get somebody downstairs.
Okay.
You know, when you got, I mean, there's got to be a point in time where. You know, maybe they're going to open something and close something else. You know, I don't know. Because I'm skeptical when they open, they're going to open up something as big as this without saying, by the way, now.
So they're going through what's called the NEPA process, right. National Environmental Policy Act. And the process has a number of steps. And the first step when they do something, it's called scoping. Mm-hmm. They want to sort of like gather, figure out what the scope of the project is going to be.
Right.
And so they're accepting comments. At the scoping level.
Gotcha.
So they're right at the beginning. So we don't know what's going to happen, but this is the idea that they presented. And so I'll be doing scoping comments
on it. Cool. Well, we'll keep your ear to the ground.
I will.
All right. Yeah. We're going to take a quick break. You listen to STORC Dirt Radio, FM 96.1, AM 1170.
The Answer.
All right, folks. Welcome back to FM 96.1, AM 1170.
The Answer.
This segment is brought to you by K&J Termite and Pest Control. It's a family-owned and operated business, and for over 45 years, they have been taking care of homes with bugs. So if you have a bug, 619-441-7378, give them a call. They'll come out, take a look, do inventory, and tell you what you need to do for the short term and the long term. And that's why we recommend them. K&J Termite and Pest Control. Give them a call, 619-441-7378. All right, so we were talking about...
Mecca-copia, otherwise known as Mecca Hills. Mecca Hills. And you remember when those airplanes collided over Ocotillo Wells a couple years ago?
Is that where it was?
The big plane, it was a fueling plane and a bomber or fighter. So the fighter crashed in Ocotillo Wells, and the bomber landed near Mecca, right in this area.
So, bomber.
Just some trivia.
Yeah, a little trivia there.
So I'm interested in this. I hope it goes through. I'll be writing comments probably this week. I'm kind of excited about it. It's really encouraging. And I hope there's nothing out there that the Enviros
figure out to stop it.
Yeah, they say this is the hill we die on. So remember we were talking about side-by-sides and how there was a tragic accident near Barstow recently. So they arrested a guy. Edgar Ivan Galindo Diaz was picked up for felony hit and run.
And he actually turned himself in.
He turned himself in. So he sobered up and
he turned himself in.
Figured I better go in now.
That's what we're all assuming. after all of the legwork, there was a lot of online detectives that did a lot of work. The police ended up going to the property several days in a row looking for him. It was a top priority case. And I think all the online pressure and I think everything from the off-road community, he ended up turning himself in. They just actually announced the felony charges yesterday for him. He's got four charges of vehicular manslaughter and hit and run, felony hit and run against him for it. So, and this is just the beginning. You know, as the case builds, we'll find out more. I know a lot of people are asking about the passengers, you know, the people who were talking online and, you know, whether or not those were just online trolls talking some trash or not. I'm not sure about, but it is, I think it's a huge relief that, you know, he did do the right thing and he did turn himself in to face his punishment. So.
Wow. Well. I hate to say it, but, you know, you never know. Everything sometimes happens for a reason. Maybe this will be something that will, you know, move the side-by-side industry. You know, I don't know what – I don't have any answers right now, but there's got to be something, whether it's training when you buy the unit and you actually have a license to drive the unit. And
I mean, just like with a motorcycle, you have to take a training course for a motorcycle and you have to get a motorcycle license.
But that's for the street, not for the off-road
industry.
But it should be, wouldn't you, don't you agree it should be for the off-road?
No.
You don't think?
I think with
not for
mini,
kids, no.
I think
a six-year-old can ride a mini bike around without having a license.
Well, I didn't say 6 years old.
Well, where do we draw the line? I'm talking specific side-by-sides. I am talking specific.
I agree with side-by-sides that side-by-side drivers should have a license, like a street license, they should have a special endorsement.
I don't think the single seat, the kid ones, I don't think little 50s. I don't think go-karts. I don't think the little single seat, you know, 200 for the kid. I definitely not, you know.
I think these side-by-sides are adult vehicles. They have a lot of power. They have a lot of capability. There's a lot of responsibility driving them. Would you put a 10-year-old behind the wheel of one of these things?
You have to have insurance on those.
No, it's not required.
You do.
I don't believe off-road you are required to have insurance.
I think it should be required. Because, look, we've got a family right now that are facing medical situations.
So you mean like liability insurance?
Yeah.
That is a good idea to be discussed. I'm not going to sit here and say, yes, we should or no, we should.
No.
I think we should go over the pluses and minuses and try to come up with equitable solution.
It also could be a choice, just like you have.
Well, currently it's a choice. Lots of people do get insurance, even though it's not required.
Right. Well, that's what I'm saying, because it's a choice, and it's no different than having that service for helicopters and ambulances when you go to the desert. It's a choice.
Yep.
If you have it, you're golden. If you don't have it, you're in serious financial trouble unless you have more money than you know what to do with. And that's why I'm saying you should offer liability insurance when you buy a side-by-side. I wouldn't say you make it mandatory.
Well, it's currently available if you want it.
Yeah.
You can get it on your motorcycle, ATV. You can get it on any vehicle if you choose. Very few people get that insurance.
Well, of course not.
And
because nobody thinks it's ever going to happen to them.
And in general, the people who don't get it are more likely to be the ones to have the problem.
You think?
So So that adds a twist to it.
Hold my beer.
I've been talking to the Corva board of directors about creating a education or training video. And they told me that Tread Lightly has something. And I looked at Tread Lightly, and it's not really, they have stuff, they have videos, but not what we, I think, are envisioning. Like, I would like to see, I don't know, a 10-minute video?
I believe they're working on it. I believe that's part of, that's something that's in the works between Mindy and what Mindy has been trying to work on. I know they just got a new Arizona representative, and Brandon has stepped up for Southern California. And I believe that, I hope by the new season, they are supposed to be issuing out a bunch of new literature, educational information, and videos for us. You know, a quick 10-minute little video or something, 15, 20-minute video in regards to what's needed for preparing yourself for going out there, your pre-trip walk around of your vehicle, you know, making sure you have the proper riding gear, making sure you have everything that you need and for where you're going, you know, and heaven forbid you get into that emergency situation. Do you have that emergency water, emergency food snack, you know, in your toolbox or in your ice chest with you while you're out on the road? You know, do you have that emergency life kit, One Life trauma kits? Heaven forbid somebody get injured and their arm gets ripped off when they roll and they, you know, automatically stick their arm out. Can you do something to stop the bleeding until you can get that medical?
We need a tourniquet. Remember the tourniquet story?
Yeah, I got a tourniquet.
Yep.
And you know what they don't mention is a lot of times we're out in the desert and we're in places where our phones don't work. And now satellite emergency radios are much easier to get, more affordable.
You can rent them too. Everything.
That's a good point, Dave.
You're only going out for the weekend.
You could rent one for your four trips a year, for your four big trips.
You rent a sat phone, you get the insurance, so when you drive over it, you'll realize you don't have to pay for it. That's one that we recommend you get your insurance.
So I don't know what it costs.
Well, as long as you don't use it.
But yeah, 20, 40 bucks.
You can buy a satellite phone for like $120. I think it's $125 for a satellite phone right now. I bought one actually at the beginning of COVID because at the beginning of COVID, that's when California said, oh, we're going to go through and we're going to take down all these repeaters on top of the mountains. And we don't like the two-way ham radios. We don't, you know, that communication is an outdated form of communication and we're going to remove all of these repeaters. So 2 years ago, the state of California said that they basically didn't like two-way ham radio communication and they were going to be removing repeaters.
God forbid people who are not part of the government talk to each other.
Trust me.
Out there.
All right, we're out of here. Thanks, kids.
Thank you, Audrey. I'll see you in a few minutes.
SDORC Dirt Radio.
Thanks for joining us for San Diego Off-Road Coalition Radio with Dave Stahl, the program that is working to further off-roading as a safe family experience while promoting and preserving the natural environment. To learn more about SDORC and how you can get involved, visit SDORC.org. That's SDORC.org. Join us next week at this same time for more of the latest news and initiatives in preserving the use of off-highway vehicles while protecting the land and wildlife at the same time. This has been San Diego Off-Road Coalition Radio on The Answer San Diego.